Lord, we thank you for stories. We thank that you are the great storyteller. You told parables to reveal yourself and your kingdom to us. We thank you that you have revealed your power to us chiefly in showing mercy. So we pray that you'd help us to hear and rejoice in your mercy as we come to your word now. In Christ's name, amen. It was a very fun, unplanned connection to hear Rob share about storytelling and to have Jesus, the storyteller, the teller of parables, as our gospel reading. I'm not going to talk about that directly, but it was very fun to have that connection. In light of dystopia, as Rob, you know, teed us up for today, I'm not sure you all are all aware of this, but work can be difficult. It can feel fruitless, it can feel frustrating, it can appear like the great tyrant, the leech of life. Like the rest of creation, as Rob talked about just now, and as our Romans 8 in particular was sharing, all of creation is cursed. It's hard labor, it's sweat, thorns, thistles. But not only is the ground and raw material of our labor shattered in sin, but we, the people that do the work, share and contribute to that curse. Rather than bless and be blessed, we curse and are cursed. And as we reflect on Psalm 86, which is our psalm today, in light of our work, this Song of David gives us permission to be honest about the destructive behavior of others. It also challenges us to work on ourselves, and then it invites us to rely on God's character and God's work for us and in us in the end. So that's where we're going to be focusing today, our permission to be honest about the destructive behavior of others, the challenge to work on ourselves, and the invitation to rely on God's character and work to heal and redeem all things. I have been generally blessed to work with great people. It hasn't always felt that way in myself, but when I reflect back, it's definitely true. I've worked with a lot of really great people, not without conflict or annoyance or frustration, but a lot of goodwill, competency, kindnesses all around, humility. I talk to plenty of people about the pain of work itself, or the persons that they work with or for or above. Things come up in these conversations. Bosses who inappropriately dump personal and emotional baggage, mismanage, want to cover things up, or who might avoid and ignore things. Co-workers who lie and blame shift. We're all getting maybe a little squirmy now. Misunderstandings that erupt in false accusations, people being fired, employees who live in continual suspicion and manipulation of others. And these are just my PG level ministry people that I talk to. Not even necessarily y'all. These are in working church contexts and ministries. Psalm 86 gives us permission to be honest about the sin, harm, and destructive behaviors that can happen to us at work, no matter the context in which we work. The psalmist is feeling threatened, torn down, attacked. I cry all day, he says, and this is a day of trouble. Willfully arrogant people, ruthless people are tearing him down, attacking him in actions and words, and he just can't shake it. It's not the kind that you can just shake off and wake up the next day and feel okay. He is weak, poor, needy. He needs God to come through for him in a tangible way. Otherwise, he's not going to be okay. We've been talking about in the Psalms so far being motivated with joyful gratitude in our work, energized by praise and honor of God in our work, but that is not at the exclusion of lament and complaint in a healthy way before God. In fact, we become unhealthy if we just stuff it down. The way of faith is the way of honesty. It's the way of honesty about our pains, our frustrations, the ways that we are sinned against in our workplace and in the world. It will become bitterness in our bones, and it will come out sideways, probably in ways and towards the people that we don't actually want it to come out towards. That's contrary to loving God and others. If we do not give ourselves permission to express our hurt and frustration in God's presence, that is what happens to us, and it can shut us down. Psalm 86 is permission to be honest in God's presence. It's an invitation. It's a permission to invite others to pray, to share honestly about what's going on, to ask for tangible tokens of God's favor in those times and relationships and seasons, even as we're trusting a larger resurrection fruit and vindication in the end. We do long for tokens in our immediate circumstances of God's favor and his love. We pursue that in prayer before God and with others. Practically, I think this means having a lot of pressure release valves in our lives. You know, there's oftentimes it's like that those transition moments in the house that become those moments where those bitter things come out sideways on those people that you really didn't want to come out on. And so it's finding those places where you can share freely, and probably your spouse or the person in your household isn't the person to always do that with. You got to find other places also. It will burn them out. Find other places to release that pressure, to share, to ask for prayer, to be honest before God with other people. We're not just seeking vindication for vindication's sake, right? This isn't just about inflicting justice or hurt back on others. This is actually about God's glory, because we are committing our way to the Lord, that we are living in the world as God's servants, seeking his glory, seeking the vindication of his name in the earth through our lives. And this is the second main theme in this psalm. Certainly, it gives us permission to be honest, but it also challenges us to do self-work, to use kind of the common phrase now. So tend to the life of the heart would be maybe the biblical way to say it. But challenges us to do self-work, that we cannot return in kind or think ourselves better than those we call our enemies. We're called to do the hard work of taking ownership of sin in our divided hearts so that we do not walk in hypocrisy. It is false and dishonest to pray for favor, intervention, and justice while not being willing to do the right thing ourselves. So if we overhear someone complaining about us in a hurtful way at work, and we head into a meeting and then we slam someone else publicly, shaming them and dragging their name through the mud in that meeting in front of others, that is contrary to the truth. We can't ask God to smite our work bullies while acting like one ourselves. It is dishonest. It is false. It is not the way of God or Christ in the world. And so we do the hard work of presenting ourselves to God, taking ownership of our falsehoods, our failures, our shortcomings, apologizing to others where and when appropriate. Psalm 86 calls us to upright living and an undivided heart. I think that's the simplest way to say it. Psalm 86 calls us to upright living and an undivided heart. Certainly, honesty about pain and grief, asking, pleading for vindication from God, but not at the cost of our own character. Teach me your way, that I may walk in your truth. That's the upright living. Unite my heart to fear your name, so that with my whole heart and my whole life, I will seek your glory. The hurt we receive in the world and the workplace comes with the challenge to become more like Christ. So, yes, God will, does vindicate his beloved children against those who seek to destroy them. And God disciplines those he loves, that we will become the kind of people who put away arrogance and evil and falsehood and selfishness. The tension of the hurt done to us and the healing of our hearts go together. It is one of the most challenging features of the life of Christlikeness, to walk in the way of Jesus. That our very hurts can become means by which God intends to heal and make us whole. Again, that is not to lessen the very real hurt and the very real passion of God to vindicate his beloved children, but it is also a statement of his commitment to make them beloved children, to make us people who love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and who actually love our neighbors in the way of Jesus. And so this permission to be honest about our work and this challenge to do the hard work of self-work requires us to rely on something or someone bigger than ourselves. It's just an impossibility left to ourselves. This is kind of the AA meeting 101. Someone who will judge and vindicate the very real destruction done to us. But also someone who is bigger than us, greater than our hearts when our hearts condemn us, who can heal and unite our hearts to give us a clear conscience of integrity and godliness as we learn to walk by the Spirit, as we learn to walk uprightly with a clear conscience of faith before God and others. So Psalm 86 gives us permission to be honest about those wrongs done to us. It challenges us to do the hard work of self-work, and it invites us to rely on God's character and God's work, both for us in the world, but also in us by the power of his Holy Spirit, to heal us. For you are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. You, Lord, answer me. There are no gods like you. All people will worship and honor you. Everyone in my office will bow down their knee and confess Christ as Lord, whether in joy or judgment. You alone are God. None of the competing gods of might being right or dog eating dog or my worth being in my productivity, none of those are anything before you. You, Lord Christ, are Lord of heaven and earth. You alone raise the dead. You alone worthily judge the nations. You alone forgive sins and forgive this sinner pleading before you right now. You are merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. David is strengthening himself in the Lord, with the Lord's character, with the Lord's work, to work both in the world and in him. And so as people of God's grace in Christ, we come to see and we come to find our help and our healing in Christ himself. It's not in us. It's not even in our ability to respond in Christ's likeness in the moment. Even in those moments, we're relying on Christ and giving glory to Christ as those good fruits come out of our lives. In the grace of Christ, as we entrust ourselves to the vindication of God, and as we entrust ourselves to the healing work of God's discipline in our lives, we're called to be what Romans 12 calls us to be as people of grace. Here's what Romans 12 says, that we are to bless those who persecute us. Bless and do not curse them. That we're not to be arrogant, but we're to associate with the lowly. That we're not to be wise in our own sight. That we repay no one evil for evil, but we give thought to do what is honorable in everyone's sight. And if possible, as much as it depends on us, we're called to live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, Paul says. Leave it to the wrath of God. If your enemy's hungry, give them food. If that person annoys you at work, buy them a dozen donuts. That's what Paul is saying. Maybe it's like hot coals in a way you don't understand. You'll get some, never mind, sorry. I've taken that the wrong way. That is what Paul talks about, though. He's quoting Proverbs, but it's confusing, and he does it in a weird way that's not logical, probably, for our context. Anyway, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. For such is the way of Christ and Christ's people. Let's pray. Lord, it is an impossibility that we would not be overcome by evil. That is an impossibility in ourselves. The evil in us, the evil around us, is overwhelming. It is too much for us. And so we thank you that your goodness through Christ, your goodness working in the mercy of Jesus on our behalf and in the world, uses evil for your good intent. That you are not overcome by it. That in your hurt, Jesus, you blessed. That you continually gave us a picture of the perfection of God's character and his power to chiefly show mercy. Thank you. Please continue to heal us. Give us wisdom on how to be healed, and give us wisdom on how to plead our case before you in the ways that we are hurt in the world. We thank you that you hear us and that you are moved by the prayers of your people. And we entrust ourselves to Christ and pray this in his name. Amen.